Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to talk about the mystery of Pentecost. If you've had a chance to tune into the program over the last few weeks, I've been talking about the two great mysteries. That's how it was communicated. I remember reading years ago, I think either Cardinal Ratzinger or Cardinal Sunens were reflecting on what they said is the church is the invitation that the Lord has offered in the church and the reality of what he's given to us. He said the church lives from her two great mysteries, the mystery of the Eucharist and the mystery of Pentecost. And the more I reflected on that, I said, well, that makes an amazing amount of sense to see that Jesus has given us the permanent representation of his sacrifice on the cross that has saved the human race, that has saved us. It's the way forward out of darkness into light. It's the only way by which human beings can be brought from death to life. It's the act by which Jesus broke the power of a literal dominion of spiritual beings that are set against the Lord and the reign of God and God's truth and God's life. He disarmed on the cross the principalities and powers that exercise a dominion over human beings, over human minds and wills and passion. And we connive with that dominion, whether we're conscious of it or not, in an unholy trinity of world, flesh, and devil, because we're under, as Scripture makes so clear and the Catechism echoes, we're under a dark dominion of the reign of sin and death. It's a reality. Jesus came. He's the light of the world. That's why he said he's the light of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life as well. He's the way out of that dominion of darkness and the way into the dominion of light, which is moving from the kingdom, a reign of Satan and darkness, into the reign and dominion of God's eternal Son, who is glorified at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was very clear. He came to establish a kingdom, the rule of God, the dominion of God, and to bring everyone who desires to come, all the image bearers of God, who are fallen and sinful, are called in God's mercy to follow in and to be united to the person of Jesus and to bring their whole freedom, their whole enterprise, their whole gifting and mind and dreams and everything under the lordship in the kingdom of Jesus, God's King. That's not just a movie. That's not just a Hollywood script. That's reality. The church lives to witness to this reality. And all of this is made possible by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his incarnation, passion, death, resurrection, ascension into glory, and bringing humanity into the glory of God, into the presence of the presence of the Holy One, of the great God, the creator of all things. And that becomes our destiny. He landed there. He ended there. He's on the throne. He's there with the Father. And that's now our destiny. And how we access it, how we even see it, how we can even come to believe in it, how we can move in it on a daily basis comes from the gift that he's given to us, which is the culmination of his whole mission and ministry, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that is the love between the Father and the Son is what flows from Jesus. It never stops flowing, the Spirit, from the throne room of God for the salvation of the world. And the church is the instrument through which that Spirit moves in the world for the salvation of souls. So I've been talking all week about this mystery. I'm describing here what this mystery is, in that it's flowing not just for Jews, but for Gentiles, for everyone who's called to, everyone is called to follow Jesus. Everyone is called to be united to the eternal Son of God. And that happens through the grace and presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I've been reflecting on over the last few days. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them on whatever device you'd like. Or the best way to access the programs is just download the Renewal Ministries app. You can go to the App Store the Apple App Store and download it, put it on your phone. You can listen to it at any point, anytime, any program. Sister Anne's programs, our programs, or my programs, our television programs. Also, the Ave Maria app is also very helpful, very useful to access really helpful teaching and resources that can help build you up to respond to this amazing work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our time. I mean, the church is living through a discouraging and difficult time. One of the things, friends, that I am convinced is being revealed is how much self-reliance is present in the church. That is, how many of us, how many in leadership, how many in other areas of the church, working for the church, we're relying too much on our own resources and not relying enough on the radical movement and presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. There's so much more to what it means to live in and through the power of the Holy Spirit than is being accessed and taught and lived in many places in the church today. So I want to just read a little bit from the Catechism today on dimensions of how the church understands the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the church. This is from paragraph 737 in the Catechism. It says, the mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit is brought to completion in the church, which is the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul said, don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit? That God's forming a chosen race of people who are alive and animated by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And we become the body of Christ because Jesus gathers us through the Holy Spirit. And the life principle that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit is now present in us. And it's a new capacity, new power, a person dwelling within us, forming us into the image of Christ and forming us into one family. One person, the Christ himself. So it says, this joint mission henceforth brings Christ faithful to share in his communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The joint mission of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the joint mission together, makes it possible for us to share in his communion with the Father in the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God, Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, in other places, in Galatians. The Spirit of the Son that dwells within us helps us be oriented to the Father the way Jesus is oriented to the Father. To be able to see the Father, his awesomeness, his majesty, his infinite power and glory, but his tenderness as well, his compassion, his fatherhood, his desire, his love for us as a analogous, we use the terminology of father. And I know many, maybe many who are listening, some who are listening, your relationship with your father wasn't great, or you haven't seen too many good father models, and it makes it difficult. But the analogy here, the image is, just think of the most tender, loving, consistent, strong father of great character and of great love who protects and provides and stands with and teaches and embraces, who's got tenderness and he's got all of that. That's just a sign of what exists in God the Father infinitely, this infinite love. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings us in and teaches us to trust who the Father is. So the Spirit prepares men and goes out to them with his grace in order to draw them to Christ. This is when the church says the Spirit is the first agent of the church's mission. Here's a description of what they mean. The Spirit prepares human hearts. You know, the Holy Spirit just is present and just waiting for human beings just to open their heart just a little bit. Just a little bit of a search for God, a little bit of longing, a little bit of cry for help, a little bit of openness, and the Spirit wants to come in. And one of the ways the Spirit does it is through people who are living with love and compassion with their neighbor, and in moments when their hearts are open, that you're present there. And you believe and you know that God's tenderness is reaching out to them. So you're praying for them and you become a conduit and a way of helping people understand how to open their hearts to Christ. Catechism goes on and says, the Spirit manifests the risen Lord to them, recalls his word to them, and opens their minds to the understanding of his death and resurrection. So like on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. Peter said, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he described, he said, you killed Christ, but God raised him. We testify that the one who died is now alive, and he is God's son. He's the descendant of David, the longing of Israel. He's the fulfillment. That's what he preached. And then he said that God has made this one Lord and Christ. And now is the time to come to him, to turn, to repent of our sins, and to allow Jesus, the only one who can forgive our sins, to open your heart and receive him and receive the forgiveness of sins, and to be baptized and to enter his church, to become a member of the people of God, the body of Christ. So that's what the catechism is referring to here. Let me read that beautiful line again. You can see the deep insight the church has to the mission of the Spirit. The Spirit manifests the risen Lord to us. Wow, that's what happened to me. I have to say that. I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if in 1978 I wasn't invited to come to a large Catholic charismatic conference at the University of Notre Dame. And man, people were so alive, the bishops, the priests, the sisters, the lay people. There was so much joy that was real. It wasn't phony. It was deep, and it was full of confidence in God. And I thought, well, they know something that I don't know, because I don't have what they have. And I just remember praying, Lord, I know there's more. And I know there's more that I don't have. And partly the reason I don't have it, because I haven't sought it. And I've put limitations and roadblocks up to your full access to my heart. And on that weekend, I remember just repenting on a very deep level. And thank God for the gift of the priesthood and the sacrament of reconciliation. And it was just an amazing moment for me. And the next day, the closing mass of this event, I went to communion. I was really crying out in my heart, just praying. I pray, Lord, that I could have the kind of love and the radical commitment and trust in you that I see in people who are here, that I hear in these speakers and other folks, because I don't have it, because I'm easily compromised. I'm one step forward, two steps back. I'm a weak guy. And I wasn't just making an excuse. That's basically who I was. But I did long more for God. And I remember coming back to my seat and just standing there quietly praying, and a gentleman comes up and taps me on the shoulder who I'd never met before, and he had a name tag on, he's from Indiana. And he just said to me, you know, son, as you were going to communion, I felt the Lord, the Spirit of God come on me. And he wants me to tell you the faith and love that you're seeking shall be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you. And as soon as he said that, I experienced a profound presence of God, like fresh outpouring of the Spirit. And what I experienced in that moment was in my spirit, in my, I don't know, my mind's eye, something. I could sense the majesty of Jesus and just like a glimpse of his glory and his power and his purity and his goodness. And it's like, yes, he is the Savior of the world. He's risen. And so what the catechism is describing here, he makes present the mystery of Christ supremely in the Eucharist. And all this happened after receiving communion for me, and it changed my life. The Spirit manifests the risen Lord to my heart, and he wants to do it to you, for you. There's so much more. It's not just an emotional experience. It's a revelation from the Spirit of God to the spirit of the believer, to the human heart, a grace of the Spirit, a deep, profound, life-changing conviction, an experience of God's love and belief in the lordship and majesty of Jesus. It's just great. Lord, I ask you, pour out your Spirit on everybody who's listening today and give them a fresh awareness of the majesty of Jesus. Friends, I hope you can tune in again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.